Today on our broadcast, Troy and Dan define drug culture and how it affects your workplace. From NATSB office headquarters, this is Successful Hire.
Well, hello, podcast land.
Hey, that's my line.
Yeah, I had to steal your thunder.
Well, it's stolen. I'm Dan Olbinger. I'm the Director of Training for the National Screening Bureau, and with me is...
Troy Trussell. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, it's exciting.
It is exciting what we're going to talk about today.
I always get excited about talking about drugs.
Drugs are fun to talk about. Not fun to do.
Don't do it.
Unless they are prescribed by
under the care of a doctor.
Under the care of a physician. And even then, people can even overdose.
Right. So, yeah. So, the prescription's not a license, is what I like to say.
So, what is overdosing? I know we hear all these actors and stuff in the media, they're overdosing, and they're actually dying. But there is a way to overdose your meds without actually killing yourself. Is that true, Dan?
Yes. For fun and for profit. So, here's the deal. You know, this is foundational. This is, you know, we're all about foundational education here at the National Screening Bureau. Drugs are toxins. Drugs are poison. That's the nature of what a drug is. However, what sets it apart from just a straight-up poison that kills you is drugs are substances that are poisonous, but they also have a therapeutic benefit. And the therapeutic benefit outweighs the toxicity or the dangerous nature of the drug. For instance, hydrocodone. Hydrocodone is a poison. You take too much of it, you die, right? It'll put you to sleep. But it is very therapeutic because it can relieve pain. Because there's a therapeutic benefit that outweighs the danger, doctors will prescribe it, and under their care and with appropriate caution, it can be very good for people.
So Dan, in our seminars, you're always talking about the drug culture. What actually is the drug culture, and what do you mean by that term?
Well, the drug culture is not like a library patronship. You couldn't go down to the drug association headquarters and get a list that really uses drugs in whatever town you live in, but it still exists. There still is a culture of drug abuse. And what I mean by that is there is a very difficult to define, very difficult to track, but very real presence in every society that is people sharing with people drugs, knowledge of drugs, and the ability to use drugs. And it's transmitted informally. That's the key. So again, we're not getting library cards. We're not getting drug cards. We're not going to meetings that are open to the public, right? But we're associating, we are educating ourselves informally together about drugs. This is the drug culture. So the drug culture in any given society is always a certain percentage of the society. And in our society, consistently, about 9% of people in the workforce are using drugs that are illicit or using them in a way that's dangerous.
Wait a second. You said workforce?
Yes, in the workforce.
These people are actually going and getting jobs?
Oh, yes. Because drugs cost money, Troy.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So you have to have money to buy your drugs.
Right.
Right. And there are certainly people that are high functioning that abuse drugs, right? They have families, they have children even, right? And they need jobs. And then on the side, on the weekends or after work or before work, we're also going to abuse drugs.
Now, so if you're a drug user, you're not necessarily a drug dealer. You actually have to go out and get a real job to pay for these drugs.
In fact, I've met drug dealers that refuse to use the drugs because they know they're horribly dangerous.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I deal meth, but I'm not going to use meth, right? What we find is, consistently, 75% of people that use illicit drugs are employed.
Wow.
That's a lot of people in the workforce of using pretty dangerous drugs.
So they have to feed that habit, so they go out and get a job. Well, how are they getting a job? You know, everybody does drug tests now, right?
Not everybody. So the places that don't do pre-employment drug testing will have a higher percentage. That's been proven. And the other thing is if all you do is pre-employment drug tests, a lot of these folks, like I said, are functioning.
They're telling their friends.
Well, yeah, and there are countermeasures they can get. There are ways to beat pre-employment drug tests, especially because you know they're coming. So I can abstain from my drug of choice for a month or 2 months.
And get a
job. Just to be safe.
Right.
And in fact, you don't even have to go that long anymore because they also sell the drug testing kits in these head shops. So I can make sure I'm clean before I go in and apply for the job, pass a drug test. Now, what do you suppose, as a drug abuser, I'm doing the night after I get my job?
Man, I'm getting high.
I'm celebrating, baby.
That's right.
Party time.
Party time. Right. Call all my friends. Tell them, hey, this is the job I just got. And they only do pre-employment drug tests. So if you'll clean up for a month, a week, or whatever drug I'm on, then you can get a job here as well.
Yep, and then you're taking the cheeseburger boat to Dope Town. So, yeah. So this is what we deal with in the drug culture when we're fighting it. And that's why it's so important to do the pre-employment drug test. It sets the pace. So the only way you're going to fight the drug culture is having a sobriety culture, having a culture of safety and sobriety in the workplace. You fight culture with culture. So you start the culture right off the bat. You set the tone with a pre-employment drug test. But then you should follow it up with
randoms.
So you got to do randoms. And true randoms. You need to have certified collectors who are collecting regularly good specimens, doing good collections. You have to have that deterrent in place if you really want to fight the drug culture in your workplace.
Right. You want to have somebody that's certified, that has been through training, that knows the signs to look for somebody tampering with a specimen, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's where you come in. Dilute specimens are an issue.
Right.
Hot specimens are an issue.
Cold specimens are an issue.
Prosthesis are big issues.
Those are big issues. I mean, they make all sorts of products out there, and they're selling them at head shops at every city.
Yep, if you look, they're there. If you have a, if your town's of any consequence as far as size, you're going to have a detox shop, and they're going to sell these products.
Yeah. Well, could a detox shop be called something else, like a smoke shop or a corner food store?
You know, some of these products will be sold in Whole Foods kinds of stores, not the name brand, but those kinds of stores could carry them. But most people will go to what are called detox shops or clean out shops, and they'll be advertised with those signs all over town. And if you look inside on the counter space, these are all either devices or consumables, drinks, elixirs, hair gels that are designed to defeat drug testing. So you have to ask yourself, who would avail themselves of these products? That's 75% of illicit drug users that are employed. That's who. That's scary stuff, Troy.
That's very scary.
But you know what? Vast majority of people don't ever have a problem with drugs. And by making a small investment in policy, in training, in educating, in a good random program, you can mitigate the risk of drug abusers in the workplace significantly. It's been proven over and over and over again. You just got to get out there and find a provider that's trusted. Obviously, the National Screening Bureau, I feel, sets the standard in the industry for that. You need to find a trusted third party to administer these kinds of programs.
Right. Well, Dan, that's some great info about the drug culture, about drugs, and about how the percentage of people that do drugs actually have a job. That is actually... That's mind-boggling.
Is your mind blown?
It actually just blew up inside my head.
And I could talk about it for hours, and I know you could too.
We will share some more stories about drug collection and the drug culture and what we've seen around our part
of the craziness that we have seen. I've seen the drug culture. I've looked in its beady eyes. And it's scary, but it's also at times it's very humorous.
Yes.
We have some funny, crazy stories.
Yeah, so we'll share some of those in future podcasts.
You know where else we'll share them?
At the Successful Hire Seminar.
AKA the road trip. Yes.
That's right.
At a town near you.
Yes, that is coming up. We're launching that this year in the beginning of September. Just go to our website at www.natsb.com.
That's www.natsb.com and click on the roadmap to a Successful Hire Seminar icon.
That's it. All right. Well, that about wraps up today.
Until next week.
I'm Troy Trussell.
And I'm Dan Oblinger. And this is Successful Hire.
This has been a presentation of the Successful Hire podcast. For more information, visit us on the web at www.natsb.com or email us at info@natsb.com.